Chapter 14, The Communists. Apparently 2 days is all it takes to be me, and that was about 2 months post-op. I joined the Communist Party during October 2018, 1 month after I arrived home from my surgery. My friend who I'd met through the free software movement was in it at the time. One day he accidentally sent me some communist literature when he sent me something else to work on, namely a laptop. Communism is really stupid. I just really didn't believe in it at all, but I'm able to rationalize almost any political view. I'm able to put myself inside the mind of anyone and basically just internalize their worldview. Watch. I'd already been familiar with the history of the Communist Party years before, because I'd studied them back when I was in college during the late 2000s. I'd always been sympathetic to the concept of Marxism and all of its implementations. I can be critical of specific human rights abuses that sometimes occurred in communist countries, but how is that any different to the capitalist abuses when people are evicted from their homes because the government decided to privatize public services and make everyone poor? It resonated with me because of my free software politics, which is essentially socialism, but in all but name. It's the idea that everyone, you know, no matter who they are, must work collectively to own their society by controlling the very means of production. Yes, communism, excellent. This can be goods, services, but more importantly, the very culture itself, ditto media, education, infrastructure. In our Western societies, these tend to be centrally owned and not actually under our control. We can vote for representatives, but circumstances often prevent them from even acting in our favour. They can be bought and sold, as is the nature of capitalism. The idea of communism is to establish a largely decentralised... Okay, boring. Go read a book about communism if you want. I'm a believer in democracy, but I believe in direct democracy. And one of the nice things about communist countries that they all claim is that the democracy expressed there is through so-called citizens' assemblies. Far more nuanced than what we've been taught in the West. Western media will often paint a country like, say, China or the Democratic People's Republic of Korea as corrupt dictatorships. But what I see is that these countries essentially came from poverty. And I mean, the Korean Workers' Party is pretty based, apparently. They were owned, often occupied, and decided to control their own futures instead. I see in China, for example, that 1 billion people have been lifted out of poverty since the 1980s. I see the general rapid growth in that country, especially since the Deng reforms. Growth in terms of economics, industry, culture. You know, these countries, they introduced universal healthcare and welfare states for the first time, and much of the reason we have such things in the West now is a direct legacy of that when we competed with these countries during the Cold War. That's what Soviet means. It literally translates to citizens' council. You know, the end of the Cold War saw massive deindustrialization and privatization of the former Soviet Union. Millions of people lost their jobs and went hungry. They didn't even get democracy. A kind of cronyism developed where once the people had the power to determine how their own country was built, you now had owners. American owners, mostly. Many former Soviet countries today still haven't recovered since that time, stuck in poverty, though some people did get rich. Only some. It used to be that they didn't have much, but what they had, everyone had. Of course, our Western leaders would spin it, hailing the newfound freedoms in the East. Institutions like the EU and NATO rapidly expanded eastward, as bright young engineers, mathematicians, artists, and all sorts were drained westwards, having been educated by public universities built with blood. Oh well, but you have democracy now. Go anywhere in Eastern Europe and in most of Russia today, and you'll find no shortage of elderly people who will tell you just how much better they had it. None of them would blink if it came back. Freedom is the ability to eat, sleep, and live comfortably, knowing that nothing will ever happen to you, and that there will always be someone to catch you when you fall. Socialism gives you that peace. Of course, I don't want censored internet, and I like having a free press. I'm under no illusion about what actually happens in such countries. North Korea is not a nice place to live. I mean, China's pretty okay for most people these days, but, you know, the effort to get there cost many lives. At the same time, though, I wouldn't say that Mao was essentially a butcher because of the Cultural Revolution or the Great Leap Forward. These were acts of incompetence, not malice, implemented then in good faith because he wanted his country to thrive and using the limited resources that he had. Before the People's Republic of China, China had been occupied relentlessly by foreign powers. The Japanese fucked them quite royally during World War II, for example. I don't like concentration camps. If the state can lock up one person, they might lock me up, so I don't want them. Even if I also believe that religion is a threat to the security of any democratic state, but I digress. Religious people should not be in government, but hey, they apparently have the right to. Oh well. I don't like slavery either, which a lot of earlier Soviet infrastructure was built on. But before you criticize these countries, consider how wealthy capitalist nations were built. Do not delude yourself into thinking that the West was any better. The West still causes more damage today. Imperialism costs more lives than any communist government ever did. Notwithstanding that the USSR also had a somewhat imperialist agenda, but they also built their own computers, TVs, rockets, and all kinds of wonderful things, having been peasants' economies only a few decades prior. Enter the Communist Party of Britain, a curious bunch of mostly hypocrites who talk socialism, but... I fondly remember drinking with them at the 2018 Executive Committee in Croydon, UK. They're totally not serious at all. I mean, they're communists at an intellectual level, but they didn't strike me as anything more than your casual pubgoer who would sometimes post YouTube videos. They would quote all of the usual theory and all of the history, and a lot of what they actually, a lot of what they say actually, you know, it makes sense, you know, but they're mostly just normal, useless people who nobody will ever take seriously. I wasn't allowed in the meeting itself, but it took place at a big house, namely Ruskin House, where several other left-wing organizations also went. There was a small pub downstairs and various conference rooms. Upstairs were offices occupied by the Communist Party. Several trade unions operated in the downstairs section, sometimes just meeting up there. It was also a common meeting point for a left-wing journalist organization, namely the Morning Star. At that meeting, lots of activists, mostly, yes, communists, met up and chatted each evening, and some people were there during the day as well. The entire Communist Party leadership was also there. I first met the then leader of the party, who for this book I shall name Party Comrade Boss, or PCB. I met him in a lift at the hotel where I was staying. My friend had a room there paid for by the party, and he let me share it with him. I stayed with my friend for the weekend. I'd sometimes dilate in there, and he'd give me privacy, of course. I spent most of that weekend with him. The meeting was held in October 2018. I met all of the party leadership. You know, my friend introduced me to him. He was working there at the time, citing the fact that I was apparently a potentially great asset to the party due to my work on Libreboot and other things. He reasoned then that I would be useful because the party was at that time in need of modernization. Much of its digital infrastructure was, well, non-existent, just a website and an email system. I sat in the offices upstairs, distracting him from his job all day, while I admired all of the posters that they had. One of them read, "Our flag stays red." He was proofreading an article for that evening's edition of the Morning Star, solidarity with some left-wing cause in a right-wing dictatorship somewhere in Africa, I think. These were real lefties, hardcore lefties, not the casual kinds that you see on Twitter or your local Labour or Green Party. You know, these were the real deal. They even had a plan, Britain's Road to Socialism. I read it myself, as my friend sent me party literature for free. It basically contains the ingredients for a gradual coup of the British state, but it was written in language that prevented it from being considered treason or terrorism, which means, basically, it would never succeed. A bunch of crap, mostly. The day Britain goes socialist is the day that ducks actually learn to talk. It's just never going to happen. I basically just sat and vibed all weekend. You know, they loved me. They did bend over backwards to gloss over the fact that there was currently a civil war in the party over the debate for or against trans rights. I knew, for example, that they did not respect non-binary people. Their literature generally regarded transgender people as decadents, as products of the capitalist. Ugh, come on, give me a fucking break, please. I previously passed an actual interview to join the party. Yes, they interviewed me. They actually vet their members, and I had no problem telling them the wonders of dialectic... whatever. I don't even remember now. I skimmed some shit online and just correctly answered the questions. There was one question that they asked, "Is Jeremy Corbyn a socialist?" And I said, "No, he's a social democrat." I passed my exam. I was now a communist. Wankers. Weekend was nice. I was a complete arsehole to everyone, every day. I was still vaping inside the pub, even after being told repeatedly to vape in the cold, where it was raining outside, and I'd just get completely smashed. I insulted everyone around me, bored a lot of people to tears, and I mostly just made people extremely uncomfortable. Puffing repeatedly on my vape, I was talking to some Morning Star executives and trade union representatives one day. I just started insulting them. I don't even know why. I was just being, like, semi-intellectual with them, belittling all of them and just dismissing all of their arguments. At one point, one of them actually had enough and left the room. And later that evening, Party Comrade Boss's wife smoked an entire packet of cigarettes while I touched her soul. We'd both become incredibly drunk. At one point, Party Comrade Boss came out to offer us yet another bottle of premium champagne, and I joked, saying, This is literally champagne socialism. Party comrade boss said nothing and went back inside. He left us alone with the bottle. Nothing quite so insidious, really. I mean, we were just talking passionately about Britain's road to socialism, and at one point, I just outputted a series of words in an impassioned rant that I no longer remember. I saw the tears start to flow in her eyes. A highly intelligent woman, too. It became night. My friend, party comrade boss, his wife, and I later crammed into a taxi as the night wore down. Since we were all staying at the same hotel, the wife and I could barely stand. I was completely out of my mind. I don't really remember any of the nights at the hotel room. I don't even remember entering the room on any of the nights, because I was completely blacked out every time. My friend would always have to escort me there. I mean, I don't remember ever going to sleep. I only know that I woke up every day in the same room. You know, I sang a lot. I don't usually sing, but I sang a lot during that weekend, especially while walking through the streets with my friend and several of my comrades. We hit the town, you know, mostly just to buy booze. I also bought more vaping juice sometimes. At one point, I was uncontrollably throwing things everywhere. I just wanted to throw things, sometimes bottles. At one point, I nearly threw my vape, but my friend stopped me. I did treat them to KFC one time for some reason. I was just completely pissed, and I just wanted chicken, and I just bought a big bucket for everyone and brought it back. Croydon was nice. There was a nice Moroccan restaurant there, right? A delicious lentil soup and falafel sandwich, plus a cup of tea. It really amused me because I was the only white person in there, and like everyone else in there was, you know, black, and I was the only one eating Moroccan food. They were all having like English breakfast. I don't really remember most of that weekend though. Like, I was completely pissed the whole time. Like, I was sober during the day and spoke, you know, intellectually with them as well. I told party comrade boss, for example, the wonders of free software ideology. Since he's an extremely intelligent man, he immediately saw that free software is essentially socialism and agreed to start implementing it in the party. I told him about Linux, for example. I also generally just gave him advice for how to improve his crap website. One of the problems with a lot of old school lefties is that they're basically just too wordy. The website was no exception. I mean, you know, the pamphlets, they can be essays, but your website is an advert, you know, your website is an ad. It's supposed to seduce me, not bore me. Nice people, though. You know, they're actually playing it kind of smart. They were bigging up Jeremy Corbyn at the time, and as well as several hard-left Labour members of Parliament. Diane Abbott, for example, wrote regularly in the Morning Star. The idea was that Jeremy Corbyn would eventually become Prime Minister, and then the revolution begins. Yeah, I mean, yeah, while they all drove nice cars, lived in nice houses. Oh, no. Let's just say how it is. They're all a bunch of wankers, right? I mean, last morning before home, my friend left his room. I'd overstayed past checkout. Someone actually entered the room while I was sleeping, you know, one of the hotel staff, and told me I should leave immediately. I kissed him on the cheek as I left. I don't remember which one. I quickly dilated before I left, leaving the hotel staff to clean up after me. Yes, Croydon, how nice. And the rest of my activism was a series of drunken rants on Twitter. I never went to meetings.